Amen. It's always good to have Gay with us and hear them sing together. So wonderful. All right, open up your Bibles tonight first to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Tonight we continue with the life of Moses. And we have come to that point in the story of his life where God is about to pour out his judgment upon the Egyptians in the form of 10 plagues. And we'll be looking at these plagues over the next few weeks. But before we begin to look at them in detail, I wanted to do kind of an overview. So tonight's message is an overview of the 10 plagues. And the reason I want to do this is to illustrate as fully as I can the God's sovereignty in regards to his planning and carrying out his plan for the things that he does and the things that he's put into place. I believe it's important that we remind ourselves of this, because often things happen in our lives, circumstances are such that things can be, we can be on shaky ground, we can be in uncertain areas and have doubts and concerns about what can be done and what should be done. I think it can be, or at least it is for me, a little bit overwhelming, even like in our day and time, to consider our nation and everything that's going on in our nation and where things may be headed. And we need to remember that God is in control, that everything is going to head where he wants it to. And we can count on that, and we can trust in him. The Israelites as a people were at a point in their history where they were in uncertain ground. They were slaves to the Egyptians. They had a burden put upon them and had been just increased upon them that was more than they could bear. They had been crying out to God for some time for deliverance and for relief. And to this point, they haven't seen anything happen other than Moses show up saying that he was going to lead them out. But as we know from the story, soon thereafter, their burdens get increased all the more, and there is no sign that they are about to leave Egypt and not be slaves to the Egyptians anymore. So it's an uncertain time for them. It's uncertain for Moses. He is in a new place. He's doing something he had never done before. And so it requires on his part a great deal of trust and faith in God. And the point I want to try to make tonight, and we're going to look at some things about these plagues and to show order and God's planning and so forth, but I just want us to be reassured tonight that God indeed is in control, that he does have a plan and that he does execute that plan to perfection. We're going to be reading in Psalm 103, starting at verse 6, to begin with, and read a few verses there, and then we'll be going to another Psalm, Psalm 78, after that, and as we go into the message. But before we do any of that, let us bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our time together here tonight. As we look at the life of Moses, as we look in particular at these plagues, and the judgment that you poured out upon those Egyptians and upon Pharaoh. And Lord, just speak to our hearts and teach us tonight the things you would have us learn, in particular those things that reassure us and comfort us concerning your plans and the execution of those plans, that we may be even stronger in our faith and in our trust in you, that would guide our lives and would be very evident that it is faith that guides our lives so that you might be glorified. Oh, Lord, we just pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God has suffered the Egyptians for many years now at this point. They have had more than ample time to turn to God if they were ever going to, and we know that they were never going to because of their human nature and their sinful state. And in what they have done instead is more or less thumb their nose at God by putting his people into slavery. And even when Moses did come before Pharaoh, if you'll remember, he told Pharaoh that the Lord God had sent him. And Pharaoh questioned, well, who is this God? I've never heard of him. And very, very haughtily, very proudly. And he has no desire to know the God of heaven. And no desire to turn to him. God's patience with them has been great. But God's patience has an end. We read in Psalm 103, starting at verse 6, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever." There is no doubt that the Lord's mercy and patience are even beyond our ability to measure. They indeed are plenteous. But there is a stopping point and there is an end that can be reached with God. And when that time comes, woe to those who have been in opposition to him. As we reach this point in the life of Moses, we find Pharaoh and Egypt just in such a place. And God's patience has come to an end, and God has prepared and had already prepared a plan for this. And he begins to execute this plan, and the outcome of that plan is 10 plagues that are poured out there upon the Egyptians and upon Pharaoh. Now, if you look in Psalm 78, there is a recounting of these things, kind of in a general sense. The listing of the plagues here in these verses is not in the order that they come in Exodus. This is just a general retelling of this, a reminder to the people about God and all that he had done for the Israelites. So in Psalm 78, we're going to start at verse 42, where it says, "They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation, and trouble, by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength, in the tabernacles of Ham." So that gives a general recounting of what God is going to do in the book of Exodus that we have come to. And what I want to list for you now are the plagues, the 10 plagues that God poured out upon them. And the thought occurs to me as I get ready to go through this list quickly just to list them, a lot of times there are stories in the Bible that we've heard and heard and heard again, and we think we are familiar with them, and so we sometimes don't go back to look at them and review them. And so this affords us that opportunity. There's always much that we can learn from Scripture, no matter how many times we go over it. So keep that in mind as we go over these plagues. But first of all, let me list them. The first plague that they will experience is the waters of the Nile will be turned to blood. The second one, frogs will cover the land. Third, lice will fill the land as well and attack their persons, their bodies. Fourth, flies will swarm the land. Fifth, there will be disease that strikes their cattle. Sixth, there will be boils and sores that will cover man and beast. Seventh, thunder and hail will strike the land. Eighth, locusts will eat all of their vegetation. Ninth, thick darkness will envelop the land for a period of about 3 days. And then tenth and finally, the firstborn of man and beast will be slain among the Egyptians. Those are the plagues in order. And what I want to do for the rest of our time is see what we can learn in a general sense about these judgments that fall upon the Egyptians and Pharaoh. First of all, I want us to know there was a reason for these plagues. They first provide an opportunity for a visible display of God's power. If you'll turn to Exodus chapter 9 for a moment, we'll read a few verses there. This will be in the midst of these plagues. And we'll see and hear something that speaks to what I just said. But each of these plagues provides God with an opportunity to display His power, this power that Pharaoh doubted or even scoffed at. And same with the Egyptian people themselves, even truly to be said, the Israelites themselves, they all scoffed at God's power to do anything in this circumstance. And what God will do is visibly give them a very visible demonstration of His power. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 13, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." You see, God was very interested in making sure that all the earth knew of His power. And to this day, all of the earth has some awareness, differing peoples in differing places more than others, but there is a general awareness of these plagues from the Bible that fell upon these Egyptians. God got His message across. He displayed His power. So that's one reason for the plagues. The second reason was so that there would be a divine judgment on Pharaoh and upon the Egyptians for their cruel treatment of the Israelites. Even Pharaoh is forced to admit this. Look in chapter 10. Just turn over one chapter to chapter 10 in Exodus and verse 16. At the end of one of these plagues, we find then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you." So even at this point, though, Pharaoh would quickly change his mind yet again, but even at this point, he still says that he recognizes, or at least states, that he has sinned against God and against them. And it was for this reason that God brought this judgment upon them, because they had been so cruel to His people. Cruelty to God's people has ever been a common thing in this world. We should not be surprised here in our day when we see it displayed toward us, because we believe in the one true God, and we stand on the principles of His Word, and many disagree with us and try to ridicule us for making such a stand. But there have been people everywhere who have treated God's people cruelly. The Egyptians in these plagues met a judgment for that. I believe all those who are unregenerate will someday face the judgment for what they have done toward God and toward His people. And God will take care of that when God is good and ready. But there indeed comes a time when God pours out judgment upon people for that very reason, and He does so here on these Egyptians. Then there is a third reason for the plagues. We find it in Numbers chapter 33 in verse 4. The third reason is these plagues are a judgment upon not just the Egyptians and not just upon Pharaoh, but upon the very gods that they worship. The Egyptians worship numerous gods. They held them in high esteem and considered them the greatest of gods, and so they worshiped all these false gods, and their culture was wrapped up. They were a religious culture. They were wrapped up in these things. Well, each of these plagues will permit God, or not permit God, but it gives God the opportunity to bring judgment upon the very gods that they trusted in. And what we will see is that God will knock each one of them down one by one. It seems that each plague has some connection to one of the gods that they worshiped. And it's as if God comes along and says, okay, you worship that, knocked it down with the plague. You worship this one, knock it down with the plague. Not that these gods truly existed. They did in the minds of these Egyptians, and God wanted to send a message, there is no other God but He Himself. In Numbers 33 and 4, we read, for the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them. Now notice the last phrase, upon their gods also the Lord executed judgments. So these plagues give to God the opportunity, He makes this His opportunity, to bring judgment upon all these false gods. So the first thing we can learn from these plagues in a general sense is there was a reason for them. And the second thing we can learn is there is an order to these plagues. You see, God does all things well and with order and with meaning. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, probably is familiar to you. But God is indeed a God of order, a God of peace and not chaos. Anything opposed to Him is chaotic. But He is a God of peace and of order and of doing things well, excellent, and right. And all of these plagues fall under that same thing. In 1 Corinthians 14, 33, we read, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So God, if there is confusion, it's not of God. He does not author that. What He authors always is peace. Well, these plagues have an order to them. If you look at the plagues, we'll start first with the tenth one, because it stands alone, and this was the a plague upon the firstborn of the Egyptians and of their beast. That plague stands alone because it has a particular meaning to Israel and to redemption. And there is much to be said about that and learned from the plagues in that one in particular about those things. If you look at the other nine, the first nine of the ten plagues, and you look at them carefully, you will see there is an order to them in this sense. There appears to be an order of threes. The first three go together. The middle three go together. The last three, or seven, eight, nine, go together. And that we know they're distinguished in such a way because the first two of each group of three begins with a warning to Pharaoh. In other words, the first plague of the blood, Moses was instructed to go to Pharaoh and warn him that the plague was about to happen, and he certainly does so. And the same for the second plague. But the third plague, then, in that order of three, there is no warning. And we'll see that when we come to them. It just happens. Okay? Then we come to plague four. Again, there's a warning. Plague five, there's a warning. Plague six, no warning. It happens. Then there's plague seven with a warning, plague eight with a warning, and then plague nine, no warning. So they're grouped in these groups of three. Someone has said that these two warnings and then no warning combinations were done so that God might demonstrate how not following His warnings will result in a sudden and terrible judgment. If warnings go unheeded, in other words, that God brings about, then there will come a time when there will be no warning and judgment will fall without that warning. I think we should take this in mind in our day and time. Individually, as well, certainly, as a nation. I believe God has given to us numerous warnings. And I believe for the most part they have gone unheeded. And soon to follow then will come that judgment that falls with no warning. So that all will know that God does not suffer people ignoring Him for very long. And that certainly comes here with these Egyptians. So the second thing we learn from this, there was an order to the plagues. A third thing that we can learn as well is this, there was a progression to these plagues. Each plague will become, each one will become more serious than the one before it, both in an individual sense, but also in the groups of three. If you look at the groups of three, for instance, the first three interfere with the comfort of the Egyptians. The second three are an attack upon their possessions, including their personal health. And the final group of three brings the desolation and death of their animals, their land, and whatever peace they may have had left at that point. So there is a progression to these plagues. And God, I believe, works in that way. And His judgments often fall in such a pattern where they progress so that it can never be said of God that He lacks mercy. His judgments always have a purpose. They always bring, first of all, glory to Him. They also, of course, bring a judgment upon sin. But they also demonstrate that He's a merciful God in the way that He conducts them. So everything that God does, you see, in our lives, there's much turmoil. There often, to us, appears to not be much order to things. And the way we go about things can get very confusing and messed up very quickly. But one thing we can always know about God is there's always order. We can always find that if we look carefully and we search for it. Because that's just the way He does things. And that's always so that no one could ever say, I didn't know that was You, God. But you can know it's God by the very order and the very the structure even to what He does. You will see God in that. So there was a progression in these plagues. I close tonight with these thoughts. A careful look at these plagues will reveal that God did not randomly draw plagues out of His bag of plagues all at the last minute. God didn't reach that point where He ever said, oh, Moses, you mean Pharaoh didn't let them go? I guess I'm going to have to do something about that. No, we don't find that at all. God doesn't work that way at all. This was all planned. and it is carried out down to the very most minute detail. He had a specific and ordered plan of what he wanted to do, and he carries it out. And he does all things in this fashion. All things are done in this fashion. The greatest of things that he has done in this way towards you and I has to do with salvation. Everything that was necessary to be done to bring about the redemption of a people for his son has been done in perfect order, in perfect timing. And Jesus was crucified at the appointed time, not 1 second before, nor 1 second after. It happened exactly according to the plan that God laid out before he even created the earth and all the universe. That's the way God does things. And it is this God that I draw your attention tonight, this attribute of God, this way of understanding God that I want to draw your attention to, because this can give us great assurance, great peace, great comfort when we face the chaotic things of our lives. Even as we go through the course of our lives, even when we come to the end of our lives and things may be happening in troubling ways through, say, illness, for instance. One thing we can always know is God is in control. All things happen according to His perfect will. And we know that He will move when He desires to move. But whatever He does is always for the good of us, His people, and always to His glory. That should give us great hope. That should give us great confidence. I think it can give us hope today that this nation can yet be turned around. It appears to be an impossibility to me that it could be done. I don't see politically, economically, socially, how things can be turned around. But what I know is this. God excels at the impossible. And He likes to excel in the impossible because that brings Him the most honor and glory. If indeed this nation turns back to God, what great glory we will be able to give to God for generations to come for what He did. If this nation does not turn back to God, what great glory we can give to God for the judgments that He will bring upon this nation. Just as we give glory to God for what was done to the Egyptians and to Pharaoh. But He does things in an ordered way, a specific way, and He does things in this fashion, and we would do well both to heed His warnings ourselves, individually, even as a body of believers, but also as a nation, and we would do well to warn others concerning God and His judgments. Too many today speak only the part about God being a God of love and that God wants to be your best friend. There's not very many today issuing the warnings of judgment that are soon to fall. We need to speak up and become a people who warns others of what is to come. That is our responsibility now. And we must heed it and we must take it seriously. That is what it has been given to us to do. Let's bow our heads at this time and we'll have prayer. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You thankful for this time together here tonight. Thankful, Lord, for these words and this overview of these plagues. And as we look at them, Lord, in more detail and more individually, I just pray, Lord, that You would continue to teach us from these things about who You are and how You bring judgment, and also about Your mercy and Your grace. And Lord, bring these things out to us. Oh Lord, may we be a faithful people to you. May we heed your warnings ourselves. And may we be faithful to give warning to those around us who have no care for you or for your holiness or for your righteousness or for the glory due your name or for your name itself. Lord, may we be your instruments to warn them. And may you use that as your means to bring your elect people to you in these times. But Lord, we pray all these things would be for your honor and for your glory. Oh Lord, we come before you now at this moment also asking your blessing upon this business meeting we are about to conduct. We just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would guide us in any decisions that we need to make. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.